Welcome back to Under the Mic Scope, everybody, where we dissect the art of basketball. I'm Yosef from Value Basketball Skills Trainer.
I'm Coleman from Binding Means Basketball.
And today we want to talk to you guys about something that I personally have had issues with growing up, and a lot of other players I know for sure have had issues growing up with or just dealing with in general. It's just basically how to deal with any type of plateau that you experience while you're training. So this plateau could be in a whole bunch of different forms and different ways that you can feel it. So it could be like a skills plateau, which is what we're going to kind of focus on today. It could also be like a strength or physical plateau where you can't really like get past a certain number on a certain weight, or you can't beat a certain time on one of your sprinting, or like whatever the case is. It's just how to deal with plateaus in general. So like I said, we'll focus on the skill side of it today. So the reason I thought of it today to talk about in this podcast is because I was working with one of my guys a couple of weeks ago. We were working on floaters, and he just couldn't make a floater that day for some reason. We tried to revisit it again the next day and try to develop it in a different way, and just still same thing, just couldn't knock down this floater, and it was just something that he was really struggling with, and I couldn't figure it out, because I tried to break it down from the most mechanical parts of it, where he didn't even jump on the floaters, he was just focusing on the releasing, and then we were just trying to develop different ways to get into that floater, and then eventually I just felt like, all right, I think now we're just kind of wasting our time trying to develop this, where we can be giving some attention to other areas of your game, like your ball handling or your shooting or your pull-ups or whatever. So we kind of shifted away from the floaters and said we'll kind of revisit them again in the future and see if there's any way that we can kind of creatively solve that issue or get better at that or be able to develop that better in the future. And then so we stepped away from them for about like 2 to 3 weeks, and then we finally revisited them again, and then this time he's really just knocking down every floater like we started with. So the workout, we start with a quick little floater warm-up. And then he was really comfortable with them, getting them down. Touch was really good, with barely hitting the rim on any of them. And then we went through a whole bunch of game situation series, and he was just really comfortable with the floater. Obviously, he was missing some here and there, but the majority of the floaters were, it was like a completely different person from the person he was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, to the person he was in that workout. So it made me really think, like, why, what works so well, and why is it, what changed? Like, we really didn't do anything dealing with floaters at all for this to make sense to me. So I was kind of confused and trying to figure out why that may have happened. And I started realizing that when we completely step away from something, it just kind of takes the stress off that person's shoulders. It kind of like gets rid of that lack of confidence. They're like, damn, I can't make a floater. Like I'm not a good player. So when I introduce like new level or new things that we worked on in between that 2-3 week period where we were developing his jump shot and his form and his pull up and all these other areas of the game that he was developing and more comfortable with, and saw signs of improvement with, it started developing that confidence again in him. And then I guess what happened, I don't know exactly why this happened, but my theory is that newfound confidence that he regained after losing so much confidence from working on his floaters kind of trickled back into in his system, I guess, when he was developing his floaters. And then now he was kind of like, he had momentum from the previous week. So that momentum kind of carried over, and something just clicked in his head where it made those floaters kind of easier and a lot simpler for him to understand and to get down right. So one thing I've learned is that something that you strongly struggle with, there's no matter, obviously you should try to get creative and figure out different ways to develop it, but if you tried, exhausted every option, it's not really working, maybe the best thing to do is step away from it for a bit and then revisit it in a couple of weeks or maybe a month or two, and then see how it goes or see how it feels when you come back to it.
Yeah, and I think the reason why that is because every skill in basketball, they're not mutually exclusive, right? Yep. So it's not like, all right, improving shooting or improving ball handling is only going to improve how well the ball hits the ground and comes back up to my hand. Like, that's going to trickle into shooting, into finishing, into floaters, just like in how we get the ball up into that shot, or just purely in terms of confidence. Like, you know, psychologically, if we get better at something, basketball mm-hmm. is primarily a mental game, like we talk about all the time. So that same confidence that we develop in our ball handling or shooting is also, like you said, going to trickle into those floaters. And then, like, you'll see this even within a workout. Like, if a guy misses 10 straight shots in a workout from a certain spot, you're like, all right, move to the next spot, we'll come back to it. They hit some there, come back to the previous spot, and they knock down, you know, 7 out of 10 when they previously couldn't hit any. Is that because they got better at that spot? No, it's just the confidence is very transferable. So I think stepping away from something is definitely a very good option. And I think it's underrated in a sense that a lot of us try to push through plateaus too often, whether it's in the weight room or, you know, on the skill side. But that's something that, you know, it's just, it's natural that it's like, damn, we got to get this done. We got to get better at this. Like, and it's kind of the culture these days, or really probably since the start of basketball, it's like the more we do something, the better we're going to get at it, which is not always, you know, that perfect linear kind of correlation there. I think another way, or a few other ways that we could do this, is adding either complexity or freedom. So like the old Einstein quote, like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. So we have to get away from what we're doing in some way. We have to either progressively overload it, which is continuously making it more and more difficult or more and more advanced, or we just have to kind of change the nature of the drill. So like, let's say I'll take the floaters example, we'll go with the floaters example. So let's say we're just like pretty simply doing floater warm-ups at the beginning of every workout, and that's kind of like how we're getting into it. Then we rep out some floaters here and there. Sometimes we may need to add some complexity to that because we've already adapted to that. Like if we're pretty solid at that, or even if we're not, like we've kind of gotten to the point where it's like, is that really making us better because we're doing it every day, whatever. So then that, now we're adding in like spins into floaters or some off balance floaters. So once we get back to those normal floaters, when we get a little bit less complex, they're going to feel easier. Yeah. Or going the other way, we can make stuff less complex. So maybe we've progressed a little bit too fast, and we can look at ourselves or whoever we're training and be like, okay, we may need to make this a little bit more simple. And at that point, maybe we just start with standing floaters, just like literally just getting that touch. And this is going to be some trial and error for sure. Like we're not always going to know exactly like, oh, we should be more complex or we should be less complex. Like that's going to be something that we need to play around with. And then I would say very similar, so I'm not going to go too deep on this, is just like freedom. So sometimes we have more pre-programmed drills. So like, all right, we're shooting 5 of these floaters, like just blocking them out, repping them out. Sometimes we get good at that and we can't make them in a game, or we can't, you know, we're stuck at that like 60% or whatever. This is why it's important to track some type of, you know, stats within our workout some type of marker. But if we're kind of stuck there, then we may be like, all right, well, just shoot any type of floater you want, or shoot like one of these 3 types of floaters, and give them a little bit more freedom. And that could break through that plateau, or give them less freedom and shoot 10 straight. And that's the only type of floater we're working on today. So that again is going to be trial and error. I think it's just about being creative with how we're programming our drills. It's the same thing in the weight room. Like if you can't pass that, I mean, the most simple is just like, you can't get past 225 on bench. Well, maybe we should throw in some eccentric overload, or maybe we should cut out the max strength of work and go 60% 1 rep max and just like purely do power. Maybe we should do some assisted
dumbbells.
Yeah, exactly. Even something that simple, going from a barbell bench to dumbbells, that's a great point. So it doesn't have to be anything complex. Maybe we can do like assisted bench, where like we're pretty much going with very light weights and we're just, you know, kind of hiking up that velocity aspect of it. Really just about switching something. I think that's the big thing, is just switching something.
Yeah, I agree. Like a lot of people, they have that competitive nature in them where they just want to like, they don't want to step away from what they're doing because they don't want to feel defeated to what they were trying to work on. And it's a really destructive problem. I mean, it's a good that you feel that competitive and you have that, you want to overcome that challenge, but overcoming that challenge doesn't necessarily mean just bulldozing through. It can also mean figuring out a different way and creative way to get around it, like you said, with the like different approaches to making it more complex, less complex, and adding that freedom to it. And additionally, I think another example of a plateau that was able to overcome was my cuff series. I started a lot of my guys with, I time every single one of them when they do it to see if they, to track their progress, to make sure that they're improving each time. And then one of my players kind of had a struggle where he kept sticking to that 3 minute 30 seconds time every workout, and I was kind of I was concerned. Like, I understand that at some point that there's going to be some type of limit to how fast you can do it, because obviously you can't do it in like 10 seconds. It's going to take some time to do it, but I've seen guys get it down to like under 3 minutes before, so I was concerned how I can improve his time. And one simple thing that I did was, all right, today, instead of doing it with a regular ball, we're going to do it with a heavy ball. And then we're going to come back to the regular ball after and see if that can help improve your time. And then when he did it with a heavy ball, it was a very simple change, but that change forced him to operate through those movements in a different way, where he kind of had to deal with the heavier ball, so he had to pound the ball harder or approach it differently. So now when he went back to the regular ball, he was flowing through and he got it down to 3 minutes and 15 seconds, which was a huge jump. And then another thing we focused on was shifting the focus. So instead of trying to focus on speed, focus on control. Like, don't focus on doing it way too fast to beat that time. Focus on doing it in a controlled manner so you don't have to mess up as many times to reach that time. So now he's making less mistakes. And in turn, by going slower, he was able to get the whole cuff series done faster, which is like the whole turtle and hare or the... thing, the analogy there. So the main takeaway is just don't get frustrated. Don't let that whatever you're stuck on be like the boss level of whatever you're trying to do. Like when you're a little kid playing that video game, on that boss level. Whenever you're, and even with that situation, when you step away from the game for like about 2-3 days and you come back and you play that boss level, you're like, wow, this was actually a lot easier than I thought it was. I think I was just overthinking it earlier. So I think it pretty much applies to pretty much any plateau you incur or you deal with in life. And I think just stepping away and getting creative with that plateau and trying to find different ways to develop that plateau can really make a huge difference in improving and getting past that plateau.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the main takeaway is that don't try to push through that plateau. I mean, maybe a little bit, but once you really start getting frustrated with it, or once you really can't see any results with it anymore, that's where it's time to switch something up. And it's really about thinking critically. It's not gonna be like a cookie cutter way to get through, like, all right, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. You got to be able to think creatively about it, but that's what makes good players, that's what makes good trainers, good coaches. So find a way to switch stuff up, whether it's less complexity, less freedom, not doing it as much, adding in, you know, a heavy ball or some type of external feedback, or there's so much you can do with it. It's just, it's about being creative. And I think once you realize that, it's going to open up a lot in terms of breaking through these plateaus, whether it's on the court or in the weight room.
So yes, so next time you guys hit a plateau in your training, don't feel like you guys have to push through. Don't think that the only way through that or around that plateau is going to be through that plateau. So it's all about just getting creative and figuring out different ways to trick your mind to thinking that, okay, I'm not really working on this skill anymore, it's a brand new skill, so maybe I can actually do this pretty well. So just trick your mind and pretty much just get creative with yourself. And if there's anything that you guys want to share with us, or if there's any plateau that any of you guys are personally going through, please feel free to reach out to us and let us know. And if you guys want any suggestions on how you can get around those plateaus, we'll be more than glad to give you those suggestions. And if you guys have any other topics that you guys want us to cover or talk about on the show, feel free to DM us those as well. And we're all about connecting with you guys, as you guys know by now. So don't hesitate to reach out at all. And we'll stay in touch with you guys. All right. So stay tuned for the next episode. Oh, yeah. Next thing I want to mention is next episode, we're going to have, or one of our next episodes, we're going to have an episode where it's kind of a Q&A setting where we have guests come onto the show. So you guys, we're going to give you guys the opportunity to come onto the show and then ask us any questions that you guys may have. So So look forward to that, and we'll keep you guys posted. All right, stay tuned. Appreciate you guys for tuning in like always.
Yes, sir. Stay tuned. Ask questions, all that good stuff, and make sure to share the podcast, all that. And appreciate you guys for tuning in. Hey.